Verse 1 through 13, and I'm down now to verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. My subject this morning is this: can a person know they are saved? You don't expect a one-word answer from me. The Word of God tells the effects and the evidences of the new birth. This conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, I'm not going to turn there now, but we'll notice some scriptures later. In John chapter 3, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He goes on and says in the fifth verse, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. God the Holy Spirit enables us to know the things of God. There's no other way that we can know them apart from the Holy Spirit. I believe that Paul, when he wrote his first letter to the Corinthian church, now I'm going to make reference to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there in verse 9 through 12, this is basically what Paul is saying. When he says there in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But now notice, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man, now notice, knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now what's my subject? Can a person know they are saved? Now Paul makes it clear. The things that God has for us and the things that God has given to us, the Holy Spirit enables us to know that we have not only received those things, but that we have those things. Brethren, there's perhaps to our church this would be a very simple question. But there may be those that are bothered with this question. Can a person know that they're saved? If I were to take a general consensus of the membership of this church, basically, I'd say that it ought to be 100% that would give me the positive answer, or in the affirmative. Now, this question arises from the religious world. Can a person know they are saved? Now, that's where this question comes from. It comes from the religious world. There are many today that teach and say that a person cannot know that they are saved. But the Bible teaches just the opposite. Now, when this question arises from the religious world, we shouldn't expect anything else. How can a person know they are saved if they've never been told how to be saved? So why should we expect anything else? They don't have the way of salvation. How can we expect them to know the truth? But brethren, for those that have come to know Jesus Christ and the salvation that God provides for His people in and through Jesus Christ, they're the ones that have the truth and know the truth by the Spirit of God. There are some evidences of the new birth for the person that is saved and also for others that are looking at their lives. We will notice some of these evidences. And I believe this is what I want us to primarily deal with this morning. Some evidences that are in the life of a child of God that not only they may know, now I know the scripture, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. I know that. And I pray that you know it too.
Amen.
But there are times in every person's life that old Satan will plant some seed. And so there are evidences that God has given us in the Word of God that are in our lives as children of God, that not only that we can know that we're saved, but others can see those evidences and know also that we're saved. The first evidence that is in the life of a child of God is that a child of God hears God's Word. Turn into the Gospel of John. And notice there with me in John chapter 8 and in verse 43 down through verse 47. Now here's the conversation that Jesus is having with a group of people. Now remember, the first evidence in the life of a child of God is that person hears God's word. Now, I'll explain this. There's a difference in hearing it with your ears and hearing it with the inner man or with the heart. Now what I'm talking about is a child of God not only would hear me preaching, but they'd hear the Lord's word speaking to their heart. Now that's what I mean when I say that an evidence of the child of God is that we hear God's word. John chapter 8 verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Now notice, even because you cannot hear my word. Now think about that. They heard with outer ears because they were not deaf. But the problem is they couldn't understand. Now that's what it means by hearing God's word. Only the child of God has the ability to understand God's word. That is, to hear God's word and to understand it. Every person here this morning can hear the audible voice of reading there in John 8, 43. But only the child of God can understand.
and can relate to what Jesus is saying here.
Now notice, a strong statement Jesus made in 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now notice this statement in verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now we see that they heard with the outer ears, but they didn't understand. Why didn't they understand? Sometimes in church we say, well, anybody ought to be able to understand that. But we're talking about the mental capacity. But there's more to hearing and understanding God's word than our mental capacity. There must be a spiritual understanding. And that spiritual understanding is only given to the children of God, to those that are saved. Now, hold your place here in John. Now, I'm going to read this also, 1 Corinthians 2. And I'm going to read verse 14. Now, I read 9 down through verse 12. But now, here's exactly what Paul says in verse 14. He says, but the natural man, that is the soulic man, that is the man of the person that's not saved by the grace of God, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, I just got through in my introduction saying that all the things that God has given us, he reveals unto us by the Holy Spirit. And we know that we are a recipient of eternal life because the Holy Spirit enables us to understand the Word of God. But now notice, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Now notice, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, brethren, I believe here is the reason why that they could not hear God's word. They heard it with their ears. But there's more to hearing it with the outer ears. There is hearing it with the inner man. And Paul in one place said, the inner man delighteth after the law of God, or the things of God, because the Holy Spirit enables us to receive or to understand spiritual things. God's children hear God's word. What about a person that does not hear the word of God, externally or internally? And there are people today that even profess to be saved and say they're saved. The whole thought in preaching this message this morning is not for you just giving me an answer, yes or no, can a person know they're saved? But the whole thought of the idea is that it would please God to use this message to work upon the hearts of this people, that you might leave here this morning without any doubt in your mind, knowing whether or not that you're saved or whether you're not saved by the grace of God. I believe today that our Baptist churches have been filled with people that are not saved by the grace of God, and when that is so, they cannot hear God's word. It don't matter how much you teach. It don't matter how much you preach. It don't matter how the Holy Spirit's presence is there and what a great service you have. If they have not been saved by the grace of God, they cannot understand God's word. And they will not receive it. I believe, and I'm right here because in John chapter 10, Jesus makes a statement in John 10:27. Here's what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, one of the evidences that is to me in my life as a child of God is that when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit enables me to hear that Word. And to me, that's a real blessing. That's a blessing that the world does not have. How does a saved person manifest that they hear God's Word? How do they manifest it? I'll tell you how they manifest it. They follow. They follow the Lord. Now, I know and you know that when people are saved, for the Lord has designed to work things out of their life, but it's going to come by hearing the Word of God. Now, that's why that I'm such a stickler on church attendance and people being under the preaching of God's Word. It's a necessity. You'll never grow as a Christian if you're not faithful to your church, to the teaching and the preaching, and that's just a start. Because you have a greater responsibility on your own. When I preach a message, it's not to give you everything that's in the Word of God, but it's to whet your appetites and get you started. That you can pursue and go on in that subject. So one of the evidences that a person is saved is they follow the Lord. And not only that, but they follow the servant of the Lord. And John was writing later in these epistles, listen to them. And I think this is clearly brought out. You know, there's not a thing wrong with following the man of God. I don't know, and of course I know a lot of people have been scorched and burnt and all kinds of things that happened to them. But that still should not cause you to not follow the man of God, as the man of God teaches the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, and there in verse 6. And here's what John's saying. Now listen. He's talking about there's some of the world, there's some out there in the world, but he said, we are of God. Now notice, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we see a person that hears God's word, this is an evidence, and they evidence it by following the Lord, by following the man of God, and by following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 17, listen to these words. I have them right here before me. It says this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So, brethren, I believe that one of the first evidences of the child of God is that they hear God's word and they follow God's word. If you're professing to be saved, if you're professing to be a child of God, to be a Christian, and for some reason or other you find it hard to follow God's word, you better examine yourself. You really better examine and to see what has really happened. The child of God consents and agrees with the heart to the Word of God. It may be we do not all times put it into practice. We may not only ever circumstance put it into practice, but the heart consents and agrees with it. And can even say amen, even though it's said it's burning you up or mashing your toes, you can say amen. That is one of the characteristics. But then, another evidence of being saved is a person believes in God's Son. There's a difference in believing about God's Son and on or in God's Son.
Almost everybody believes about God's Son. Scarcely today could you find anyone that doesn't believe about God's Son. But there's a difference in believing about God's Son and believing in God's Son. Paul made this very clear when he wrote to Timothy not too long ago. You know, I preached from this text, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and there in verse 12, I preached just from this text. It said this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." Now notice, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, we are not born again because we believe, but we believe because we're born again. Amen. Too many times people put the emphasis upon what they do. You say, what do you mean in the same chapter that I'm reading in John chapter 1, and there in verse 12 and verse 13 it says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born." Now, this is the new birth, verse 13, "which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Amen. So the new birth is not by flesh, and it's not by blood, and it's not by our wills, but it's by the will of God. Right. Many sinners say they believe in Christ, but in reality, they just know about him. They have a head knowledge of it. They do not have a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another evidence of the new birth or a person that's saved is that person will love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, everybody loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me. You get the point? Show me by your life. That's what I'm talking about. A person that's really born again loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll be manifested in their life. They'll put him first. Show me. I'm not from Missouri either. But show me. We say we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe if we are saved by the Word of God, we do. And I know that the love of Christ constrains us. And I believe, brethren, that we clearly recognize why it is that the love of Christ constrains us and why it is that we really love him. For in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, "We love him because he first loved us." Now, I know there's a great truth, "because he first loved us," but there's another great truth, is we love him. Now, I know that he loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Very clearly brought out in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians 1:4. He loved us and went to Calvary for us. He loved us even with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, he drew us. Jeremiah 31:3. Paul made this very clear, the kind of love that he has for us. And I believe that we see all of these things. Listen to Romans 8, and there in verse 35 down through 39, it says, "If who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now notice, "shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now notice this eternal love. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we see one of the evidences in the life of a saved person is that person loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we prove the love we have for Christ. We prove it. How do we prove that we love the Lord Jesus Christ? It's hard for you to convince me or anybody else that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're always talking about how you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and your life does not show it or manifest it. I don't believe you.
Do you? Do you believe? When somebody tells you they love the Lord Jesus Christ and their life does not manifest it, do you believe it? It works both ways. Now listen, John 14. I'm fearful in a godly manner, way, that today we have a lot of people profess they know Him and they've never come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They have a head knowledge and they have a routine. Sure, they go to church. They do this and they do that. But that's not salvation. Amen. That's not being saved. Listen to John 14, 23 and 24. Listen to what it says. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Should we read that he might keep my words? No, I don't think we should. I believe we should read it exactly like it's written. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. Now see, what I was basing my observation on is based on the Word of God. And the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So I believe that we have evidences here. We prove the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another evidence of whether or not we're saved. Not only do we love the Lord Jesus Christ, but we love the bread. Amen. It goes even farther than that. We even love our enemies. And we pray for those who despitefully use us. This is only the beginning as an evidence of being saved. I see people, they love people that love them. And they're good to people that's good to them. People do something to them, they do something to them back. But that's no proof of being saved. And I believe that just as a starter, just loving the brethren. I was in this chapter here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Just listen to this, what it says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now notice, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. A special love, I believe, for the saints of God. I tried to manifest this in my preaching recently, perhaps even Sunday night or Wednesday night. And I said, among those that love the Lord and know the Lord and love the truth, there's a special love that we have in our hearts for them. Now the whole idea is that when we manifest this love, sometimes people say, I'm a Christian, but I hate you. Isn't that great? Isn't that really a good witness and a good evidence of being saved? I tell you, if we are, and if we sin like that, the Lord's going to convict our hearts. We're going to come back and say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean that. And I want you to know, I want you to forgive me. Now, we may do that, but you can't stay in that kind of a relationship or condition with a child of God, because you're just as much, I'm in the flesh, and you can get in the flesh as much as anybody else, but you can't remain that way. Now, other men know we're saved by the love that we manifest. John 13. And listen to what he says here in John 13. And there in verse 34 and verse 35, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Notice, as I have loved you. Now I'm going to stop right there because I want you to think about that. Love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now think about that. Say, you can't tell whether
defies the word of God to keep saying you can. If ye have love one to another.
One of the most disgraceful things that can ever happen to any Baptist church is when they get in a big fight. You know what it gives the enemy occasion to do? Blasphemy. And people said, well, if that's what it is, you know, people that don't know anything about me say, if that's what it is, I sure don't want any of it. It's one of the most shameful things when any of us, any one of us, preacher, pulpit pew, or pew pulpit, when any one of us lose it and get in the flesh. It's one of the most shameful things. And it's one of the worst witnesses and the worst testimony that a church can have. When they get in a big fight, people are mad. And there's hard feelings. And there's tension. And there's not forgiveness. And there's not love that's manifested. I tell you, but then another is that the child of God, another evidence of it, the child of God overcomes the world. The saved have the victory over Satan and the world. I knew we were singing about this morning. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. There will be a constant battle. There will never be a day that you'll not be engaged in this battle. The Apostle Peter describes it when he talked about there. And I don't have time to read. I'll just say, he said, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5. So it's a constant battle. Now the battle may end in death. But we still have the victory. Because Hebrews 11 speaks of that. When he said there in the book of Hebrews 11 and there in verse 13. Now let's listen to this verse right quickly. Oh, what he says. These all died in faith. That's all I want to say about it. But the victory was still theirs. But the victory belongs to the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The person who's overcome by the world and goes back into sin and remains there may have some kind of religion, but they don't have Christ. Another evidence of being a child of God that's manifested is the child of God, or the person saved, receives chastisement. One of the greatest evidences that I see that you love your children is when you discipline, correct your children. And you know, fleshly speaking, sometimes it may bother me. And as you get older, it does. I could have done begin to see that. It'll bother you. But I know it's right. And I know you do it because that you love that child. The same way the Lord deals with his children by chastisement in love. Listen to this. And I believe here's an evidence of being saved. Hebrews 12, 5. Listen to what it says. And you ever forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now notice the statement. My son. Notice the relationship. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked him. Now here it is. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now I believe here in verse 6 is the motive is love. One of the evidences, you know, and I thought about this. We we profess to be saved. We're a member of Austin City Baptist Church. Something comes in our life, and I can come to you and I say, does this sin in your life really bother you?
No. Doesn't bother me. Are you concerned about getting this thing right now? No, not really. What do y'all think? I mean, what do y'all think? I mean, I know what I think. What do y'all think? I'm always the one who turns out to be the couple.
Now the Lord chastens those He loves. Look it. Both through chastisement and church discipline. But then there's another, a manifestation of whether or not we're saved. That person loves righteousness rather than sin. And they come to the place that they hate sin and the things of sin. Now I want to ask you these questions. Are you redeemed by the blood of Christ? Have you had an experience of grace? I mean, has the Holy Spirit brought you to the place that you felt the weight and the guilt of your sin and you saw yourself a sinner, condemned and doomed and on the way to a devil's hell? Then, do you hear God's word? Do you heed God's word? Do you love Christ and put Him first? Do you love the brethren? Do you love the people of God? Do you overcome the world? Do you receive chastisement? Do you love righteousness more than sin? No wonder John wrote, and this is such a glorious and such a grand verse of scripture there in 1 John 5:13. Such a great and tremendous truth. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now notice, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm thankful this morning. Years ago, the Lord saved me. Aren't you? It may not have been years ago, but aren't you thankful that God in His grace and mercy and love saved you? And that today you're just as saved in the respect of the penalty of your sin as you was the very first day God saved you.
Amen.
I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Do you have that confidence and that assurance in your heart? If you don't, you can. Because God can enable you to have it. Only God and the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, oh, that it may please the great God of heaven today to open your heart and to grant to you repentance and faith, and that you'd come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing.